This is Studio 395, a production of the Department of History at James Madison University and its Historical Research Methods course, History 395. I'm Katie Coakley, a junior history minor. The chief task of the school is the education of the young for the service to the nation and state in the spirit of National Socialism. This quote explains Hitler's expectations and goals for the German youth during World War II. In establishing the Hitler Youth Organization, Hitler was grooming these children to create the perfect German society. I'm speaking today with Tyler Kersley, a history major at James Madison University and the author of the paper, What Did the Nazi Propaganda Do to the Children of Germany from 1933 to 1945? Well, Tyler, I enjoyed reading your paper thoroughly. It was very eye-opening to what was going on during Germany with the youth at this point in time.
It was very scary looking at all of this and looking at how easily all of this happened and how quickly it was able to happen. Mm-hmm. So it was very eye-opening, to say the least.
Well, you talk about thoroughly throughout your paper, you mentioned the Hitler Youth Organization. Can you explain what this is?
The basic understanding that I got from it was it was basically a Boy Scout troop. And the chief task of it wasn't what the Boy Scouts' task is of, like, friendship and stuff like that. This is more of, like, training the boys to become soldiers and training the girls to then later produce soldiers when they grow of time. And with this, another, like, not underlying, but more of, like, the biggest goal they had was to turn the thought processes of these children from a family-style-oriented life to a one filled of National Socialist ideals to match his Nazi party, so that 20, 30 years down the line, when Hitler and them were long gone, their Nazi party would still reign.
So, in what you're saying, it kind of seems like these kids, once they got into this program, they didn't really have a normal childhood. So, were these kids expected to act a certain way, or did they act a certain way under this program?
They were expected to act as basically adults, and that's it. You really weren't a child as soon as you entered these programs. Originally, this was a program of volunteer. You could volunteer to be in this program. And after Hitler became chancellor in 1933, he made it mandatory for everybody so that his ideals would pass to every child that went through this program. And he expected every one of these children to act as adults. No matter the age or whoever they were expected to be adults. And this can be fully seen in one of the books that I read. I didn't put this in my paper, which I wish I did. I didn't think about it till it was too late. But it's a story about this mom who, her 10-year-old son came home from about, I forget the exact time, but he was in the Hitler Youth Organization for a while and they were on like a vacation. So he came back home and she was talking to him and she was like, well, don't you want to go play outside with your brother or with your friends? And he was like, no, of course not. I'll get my uniform dirty. I can't have that. And that, to me, is one of, like, the biggest eye-opening pieces of, like, these children, like, that isn't a phrase you would hear from a child normally. You'd hear that from, like, an adult or somebody like that. And these children are expected to grow up as fast as they can so that they can progress through the Hitler Youth Organization fairly quickly, I think is a good term. And these children really weren't supposed to act childish. They were meant to be the soldiers Hitler wanted them to be.
So it seems like this is a very, you know, touchy subject, kind of, when you're trying to make kids grow up as fast as they can. I know you mentioned one group in your paper, but were there any other groups, including this group, that you discuss that disagreed with this program?
There were others, but the category that I found these people in were the White Rose Movement. And there were others that I didn't get to talk about in my paper. There were like adults and other things like that which had the same fate, as the three children that I talked about during the White Rose Movement, and I can bet there were others, but how this time was, I don't think many people were outspoken against him because they probably knew what was going to happen. Like the children during the White Rose Movement, it was just three college students. The oldest was 24. And they were just passing out leaflets of, we don't need to listen to Hitler. He's doing bad things. We need to, like, open our eyes. They were caught and within 4 days executed by guillotine. And I know from reading that there were others. There were others in this movement, but not necessarily those three. Those three were the start of it. There were others after who all shared the same fate of the execution. I don't know if they were all by guillotine, but they were all executed for basic treason. That's how the courts proceeded to execute them in a quote-unquote legal way. They tried to find a legal way around it, but the courts these people would go through are called people's courts, but that term is, like, used very loosely, because when you think of a people's court, you think of it like, oh, these are people in the society who, like, will understand, and it's just normal people. These people's courts that these certain offenders would go through would be a Nazi's people court. And on the outside, it would have the facade of being a people's court, but in reality, it's not. It's for Nazi officials, and basically, as soon as they went in there, they were done before they even walked in. And seeing all of this is, like, it's scary to think. It's scary to, like, look back at to see that happen, and it's scary to think that this wasn't, like, these weren't the only people that died because of just talking out against somebody.
Okay, so for our last question, I'm interested to see what stood out to you the most with this topic.
There were a few things that really stuck out to me, and one was, I found it on this website, because it's a German book, and the title is, and I know I'm going to get this wrong, but it's Trust No Fox on His Green Heath and Trust No Jew on His Oath. And this is a children's book, 100%. Like, this has, like, picture, it's a picture book. And I was lucky to find it on this website, because I absolutely loved using this source because of how, like, eye-opening it was to show what these children were going through. And this source was, the first page, the picture was Satan. It was just big red beast. And I was like, okay, where are we going from here? And looking at the text, it was saying that God had given the Germans the world and that they were going to be the ones. This is another way they were trying to prove that they were the top race. And in this children's book, which was made between 1934 and 1936. And, the line following is basically that the Jewish people are the reason why the devil is here, because they went on strike after saying, no, we don't want to work on this land. We just want to have it. And a few pages later, there's this depiction of a Jewish person. They're wearing, like, a black robe. They're looking very shady. And it shows their face, which is all green and, like, nasty looking, with their teeth snarled, like, making them out to be a complete monster. And seeing this, I can understand how the ideology of Hitler, mainly with his anti-Semitism, was able to, like, get through to these children as quickly as it did. Because first off, he was bringing God and all of that into the mix, saying that, oh, we are supposed to be here because God said we're good. We're good. It's the Jewish people that are bad. And these children, if they are raised religious, will see that and be like, oh, well, if this is true, then I need to not like them. And not only that, but there was another book that I did talk about in my paper, and I absolutely, like, this picture, like, summed up my entire paper, which I loved. Because I just loved finding, like, I had my argument, and then it was just kind of like bullet point, bullet point, bullet point of things just backing it up. It's a picture out of a children's book, and on one side is children playing in the sun, looking like they're having fun, and then the next page is a giant bonfire with all of the children in uniform standing and saluting the bonfire. And both of those pictures represent the transition these children were going through. The first, of course, represents their innocence before this program that they went through. And after, the next picture shows what Hitler Youth was. All of the boys and girls were in uniforms. The boys and girls were separated. The boys were on a higher ground because in the Hitler Youth organization, the boys were valued more than the women were. Mainly because at what I said earlier on how the boys were meant to be soldiers. The only thing the women were there for was to make more soldiers later on. And just those two pictures together shows that it wasn't really like a smooth transition, but it was a transition that happened and happened fully. It wasn't like half the kids did this, half of them didn't. Every child within the age gap that had to go through Hitler Youth went through it and changed. So much so that after the war, they all had to be re-educated to re-enter society. And that is, I think out of everything that I've seen, that was the scariest part. That children no more than 18 years old had to be re-educated to enter society, or else World War III would have happened 20 years later.
Well, thank you so much for explaining your paper to us. Thank you for listening to Studio 395. More interviews on a wide range of historical topics and subscriptions to our podcast are available on our show page at sites.lib.jmu.edu/Studio 395. To learn more about the history major at James Madison University, please visit www.jmu.edu/history.